And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is how I clean my rubber cold cut sandwich. Dust off!
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, March 24th. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen today is J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Apologies in advance if you hear some weird noises in the background from some of us today. JD, you said you got, like, what's going on over there? You got a plumber and some construction worker.
Got a plumber right behind me. He's working on a toilet, and I got an AC guy going up and down the stairs all day.
Okay. Well, I got someone taking down a tree, like, two houses down. I can hear a chainsaw going nuts. Tomorrow, they're going to be redoing their driveway next to me, so that's going to be nice. So anyway, yeah, apologies.
First move of the trade deadline. No Dunks traded in leaf blowers for some different maintenance men. This is big. The biggest move of the week so far.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like, comment, and subscribe. Subscribe. Share the show with your friends. Let's get those subscription numbers up. Email us your questions for the next Beach Step in podcast. Send them in to nodunks@theathletic.com. We hit the beach yesterday to answer a few of your cues. Topics included: a hypothetical Lakers-Celtics trade that got everybody angry. Whether Anthony Edwards is a more exciting player than Zion Williamson. We talked about sunflower seeds and NHL 94 on the Sega Genesis and Lee's leaky roof and Tim Hortons making changes. We had a blast on the beach. Lee, did you get up in the attic last night?
This morning I checked it. The storm. Well, the storm.
The daily check.
I was kidding, well, but you're serious.
We were expecting a storm last night. It didn't really happen, though. So I didn't wake up with that howling wind, that whistling sound that really is worse than a nightmare for me. So I just had a little poke up this morning and safe and sound for now. But, you know, it's not a problem that goes away. It's always there in the back of my mind.
I'm not even convinced you live in a house at this point. It's like you're in a tent. You're so worried about the wind and the rain.
I tell you, I think I'd rather be in a tent, to be honest, because at least I can rely on that. We used to go camping tons as kids. Yep. Never once had a leak, ever.
Oh, well, not even a ground leak? Because you got to watch your pressure on the sides, I remember,
yeah,
as a kid.
Yeah, nah, we got a bit of rain sometimes, but Dickie was always pretty good at getting those tents up for us and taught us the right way. So, maybe I'll move into the tent.
All right. Awesome. Immaculate items available for sale over at nodunks.com. So go grab your No Dunks hoodies and shorts and t-shirts and stuff like that. Yeah, Lee's got a good morning sweet world there. That looks great, Lee. Okay. Guys, we'll get to some game talk from last night. We had a lot of blowouts in the NBA. Yeah, we had a good one late between the Nets and the Blazers. We'll get to some of those games, but let's start once again here with some trade rumor. The way JD says it, so sexy. Trade rumors, trade deadline tomorrow, you know, just over 24 hours from now, it will be in the books. And we're a little light on the actual trades happening, but, you know, there were some, I wouldn't say new rumors yesterday, but some confirmed rumors, let's call them that. First one, Trey, have at it here. The Rockets are apparently progressing in talks to trade Victor Oladipo. Again, this is a name that's been in the trade cycle for a while, and it sounds like it's going to happen. It's just to who? So do you have a thought on where he could go and what it will take to get him? What's your take on this?
This one, honestly, Skeets, has me scratching my head a little bit.
Okay.
No doubt about it. The Rockets want to trade him. I think they're going to find a partner, because you got Woj saying, quote, Houston Rockets are progressing on several fronts in trade talks to trade guard Victor Oladipo. Strong confidence they'll execute a deal ahead of the trade deadline. Sounds good. I believe it. He continues. The Rockets are increasingly comfortable with the offers on Oladipo in the marketplace, which include young players and first-round pick combinations that the franchise believes are suitable returns. Several teams, huh, would trade a young player and a first-round pick for a guy whose trade value is at its lowest right now, who can be a free agent in the summer? I'm a little dubious about that one, because the Athletic's Kelly Eco and others had this quote in their Oladipo report. I think the Rockets will be selling very low on this and possibly lower than anyone can imagine right now. The executive continues, low enough that someone who has little chance of keeping him may not care and would take a flyer on him with no promises of retaining him. The market is wider than people think because the value is lower than people anticipate. Furthermore, Shams is reporting that Miami, New York, and Detroit are interested and that the Rockets might settle for a second rounder, all of which is to say this seems to me like a no-dunks happy hour. A lot of smoke. But I don't think much has changed so far. The Rockets want to trade Victor Oladipo. They're going to find somebody, but to me, he's still second in line on the trading block amongst guards behind Kyle Lowry. We're going to find out where Kyle Lowry goes first because he's probably a more desirable player, especially for a team like Miami, which seems like the destination that these two guys have in common right now. Miami should be more interested in Lowry, but I could definitely see the New York Knicks getting into the game. They've got extra first rounders. They've got their own first rounders. They've got cap space. They've got some young players you could throw into a trade in Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina. They've got that glamour market that Victor Oladipo clearly is interested in, and the Knicks would get his bird rights if they do want to keep him. The Knicks, they're making a playoff push. They're probably going to make it this year, as we've seen so far, you know, with teams dropping out, and we're starting to see some of their competition turning into sellers. So I can certainly see the Knicks hopping in here and making a move, because I think that the Heat would rather wait for Lowry and try and get Lowry as much as they can. But we shall see. I do think Victor Oladipo will be traded. I will be shocked, though, if it's for a player and a pick. That's a big load for Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, it's almost like the Athletic beat guys are saying, this could be like the old Drummond poo-poo platter type of deal here, which will shock people if it does happen, and I think it's in play. What I mean by that is, like, maybe it is like a second rounder and, like, obviously some players to make it happen, and that's it, and you're like, what? That's all for Victor Oladipo? Yeah, that's sort of where he's at. And, of course, hitting free agency. He turned down Lee a two-year extension from the Rockets. Oladipo did when he got there, you know, making it very clear that he's ready to explore free agency here. But what is your take? I like how Trey really broke that down. Do you think it would be wise for the Knicks to, let's say, a Knox, maybe a Ntilikina, and then maybe one first-round pick? Is that even still too much for the New York Knicks to sort of take a flyer? Maybe they would have an arranged deal to sign Victor Oladipo. What's your take?
I wouldn't give up a first rounder from the Knicks. They've been pretty disciplined in the last couple of years at holding onto those picks and not trading them away for the veteran who, you know, Oladipo, it's very hard to figure out exactly how good he is right now. He's 28. He's going to be 29 by the end of this season. So he's not old. But did he just have one really good season where he made the All-Star team, and are those injuries going to catch up to him? Or is he the sort of player who actually could be just what they need, another veteran who can score? He's a good defender. He can provide that. But I think there's a little bit too much risk involved to give up a first round for him. If you can get him for a second round, I think it's worth it, especially because the Knicks are reported to be one of the cities and the destinations that he wants to sign with. So I think that's good. And again, for the Knicks getting his bird rights, so I think that's worth it. But low risk. Don't give up any of that first round capital, because I just don't think it's worth it when, unless you do have, as you mentioned there, maybe a little bit of a wink, wink, yes, I'm going to sign here next season. But I just don't think we know that yet, because if you're Victor Oladipo and you've got an offer from the from the Knicks and the Heat, I would probably lean more to the Heat because they're a little closer to a championship than the Knicks, but who knows exactly what he's thinking there. He's a good player, and, you know, turning down 2 years and I think it was about $45 million from the Rockets. Well, what, you know, what's he going to get in the open market? Is anyone going to give him, you know, 4 years and 85, basically similar to what he just got from the, well, the Thunder originally signed him to that? I'm not sure there's a huge market for a guy like that. Like, I don't know there's going to be people just lining up to throw money at him next season, even though it's not there's not tons of free agents out there. So I'm not sure, but I just think that if you're the Knicks, you know, resist giving up too much, because I think he can be had for less, even if it is one of your younger players there, like perhaps a Knox or a Neil Akina. I think probably Neil Akina out of those two. Kevin Knox, I liked him at the start, but he doesn't seem to have found a spot there with Thibs. So I think there's something to be done for the Knicks, but don't give up that first rounder if I was you.
Yeah, we saw Dale here in the stream team because I was saying, could this be a Drummond-like trade? That's right, Dale. Oladipo for a bag of beans. It could be in play. It really could, as the guys have taken us through here. Okay, so that's Oladipo. We'll keep our eye on that. Our next rumor here, the Nuggets, I guess, are interested in Evan Fournier. Now, Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix, he says that the Magic are committed to moving both Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier before the deadline. Now, Orlando, Houston, and OKC, they're seen as the top sellers here, so that makes sense. Orlando is in that mix, Houston with Oladipo, OKC probably with Al Horford and George Hill as sellers. I saw that Josh Robbins with The Athletic had a great breakdown from the Magic side of things with potential trades that we could maybe see here in the next 24 hours, some of them involving the Denver Nuggets. I talked about Aaron Gordon, I thought being a perfect sort of fit there in Denver to replace Jeremy Grant, replace Torrey Craig, you know, got defensive wing guy there. Fournier, though, I think they could see him as like an upgrade over Gary Harris. He's a 20-point-per-game scorer, Evan Fournier is. You know, he's 28 years old, though he's bolded like he's 45, but he's good. Decent percentages, 46% from the floor, 38.5% from deep. He would help. It's just, is this a big deal where it's AG and Fournier going to Denver, or is it maybe just one or the other, and which one would they want more? I'll throw out a couple trade options. I'd love to hear your take, guys. From, again, Josh Robbins of The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get in right now for $1 a month. This one. This would just be for Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon going to Denver and Kem Birch for Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and Denver's 2021 first-round pick. Simple as that. Is that enough? You know, you're sort of, you're moving your head back and forth a little bit. You got your nose turned up a little bit, Trey. You don't hate it. You don't love it. What's your take?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't love it, which means it's probably a good trade.
Yeah.
It seems like a little steep to be giving RJ Hampton up and a first round pick to me for a guy who will have an expiring contract come the offseason in Evan Fournier. But I am with you, Skeets, that the Nuggets could certainly use Fournier just as an upgrade over maybe Gary Harris. I don't know. Maybe he's equivalent to Will Barton. I don't know what it is. Not every trade is really a banger. You can't address every single need with every single trade, but Fournier is a solid guy. They're bringing, you know, Campazzo, PJ Dozier, Zeke Nnaji off the bench. They've all had moments, but certainly teams like a little bit more reliability, a little bit more veteranship come playoff time. So I can see the Nuggets going for that sort of move, getting Evan Fournier back into his old number 94. Hope you didn't burn your Fournier jerseys, Nuggets fans. But yeah, I mean, if I don't know, I'm kind of an RJ Hampton believer. I would like to take a shot on him becoming something of a player. But I don't know. That's maybe how you entice the Magic.
Yeah, I think
so. I don't know which they would be more interested in, a player or a pick. Obviously, they would want both of them. But if I'm choosing, I would rather give up the pick than give up RJ Hampton, just because, you know, the Nuggets pick's going to be pretty high in the draft.
It feels like if there's a Nuggets Magic trade, Lee, again, for Aaron Gordon or for Evan Fournier or somehow for both, it's going to include from Denver, like sending to Orlando, probably Gary Harris or Will Barton, right? You know, one of the two. And then probably an RJ Hampton or a Bol Bol, or again, maybe, you know, both if we're talking a mega deal here. And then maybe a pick or two, like that 2021 first round pick. And then I don't think they have one until like this future first round pick until like 2027. But then there's second round picks you could throw in there. I think that's what's going to be the framework of, a potential AG or Fournier going to Denver. But what do you think of this sort of, these two teams maybe doing a little dance here over the next 24 hours?
Yeah, anything Denver can get in return for Gary Harris, they'll take, because he's no longer a part of their future. So if you can get Aaron Gordon, and again, it all comes back to what type of Aaron Gordon are you getting? Are you getting a player who's committed, and he's going to really put in on both ends. Because if you are, then that's a win, I think, for the Denver Nuggets. But if you kind of get the guy who's frustrating and inconsistent, then you're probably no better off with him than you are with Gary Harris right now. So
it's going to be better when Aaron Gordon, maybe if he is inconsistent, is your fourth best player on any given night. Maybe even your fifth at times. That's fine. You'll live with that, I think.
Oh, I know, but it's just he's such a frustrating player. But again, he might be the sort of guy who gets to a new team and he's like, finally, I'm free.
I think so.
And I'm going to run, I'm going to hustle, I'm going to block shots, I'm going to shoot those threes that I can shoot, I'm going to catch lobs, and he's going to do all that stuff. If he is, then this is a great move for here for the Nuggets, because as I say, Harris is kind of out of their future
plans.
So
you would have no problem if you're Denver, again, some framework of the contract of Gary Harris or Will Barton, let's say. And then it's probably going to take an RJ Hampton or a Bol Bol. I think you've got to entice the Magic somehow. And then maybe it's that first round pick, probably 2021, which is obviously going to be later in the first round if you're Denver.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get Fournier as well as another reliable backup scorer, then I think if you're the Nuggets, it's worth it. Again, I agree with what Trey's saying about Hampton and a first round pick. I think it's a little bit of a steep price considering you don't know how long those guys are going to stick around. But you're also kind of... You need to make a move, I think, for Denver just to get a little bit more offensive firepower. And I think you get that, certainly with Fournier, because he's one of those guys who can come off the bench and he's a bit like, Jordan Crawford, Lou Williams, whatever. He can go out and get you some points. So that's what they need. And Bol Bol, it's been disappointing. He hasn't really played at all this season. I was hoping after what we saw down in Orlando, he'd get a few more meaningful minutes, but he's not really doing that. I still think there's some potential there, but if you're the Nuggets, if you can upgrade over him right now, I think it's worth it. So I can see Denver kind of pushing this trade a little more because there's some pieces there that they could help, that could really help them this season. And they get a good look at Aaron Gordon, you know, going forward, because he's still a young player. He teases you.
And he's under contract even for another year.
He teases you with that athleticism and those skills. So
he's 25 years old.
I know. If you can unlock that, then you're getting an absolute steal. But if you get the same sort of Aaron Gordon that we've seen the last couple of years in Orlando, it probably doesn't move the needle all that much.
Okay, we'll see here. Yeah, Magic are making moves. We're happy to see it. It's going to happen. Are they going to Denver? Are they going somewhere else? The Blazers? Are they going to the Celtics, one of these guys? They're not going to have the same roster come Friday. I'm very excited about that.
End of an era for the Magic. Ugh. I mean, I guess they'll probably still have Vooch.
Yes.
Crazy that this guy is going to be the all-time leading scorer for the Orlando Magic. That is wild. It'll probably happen. If he sticks around, it'll happen at the end of next season. But I don't know. I mean, you're right. Aaron Gordon's only 25. You have to imagine that things get better if he goes to another team and has a change of scenery, but I don't know. I'm not convinced, man. I think he helps teams. He's a versatile defender. He can pass the ball, but we're all asking him to be something he has had no interest in being so far. He's wanted to be the number one guy on a team that barely makes the playoffs, and that has been the story of Aaron Gordon's career. If he's ready to commit himself to being the role guy, let's see it. Yeah. I would love to see it because he would be amazing next to Jokic. How many dunks could he get playing next to Jokic, cutting back door?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I think he slots in there perfectly. I'm not concerned about like him and Porter, like sort of like, you know, being too similar or stuff like that. Not at all. I really think he works well there. And I hadn't even thought about Fournier also going there, but you guys are sort of talking me into it. That they could use him, of course, like especially maybe in a bench role or maybe even starting if like a Will Barton is moving back to Orlando. So I love the idea of Denver like, without like mortgaging their future here, like we're talking a pick and a young guy, and they've hit on a lot of picks. They've drafted really well. You know, I'm with you, Trey. I sort of have high hopes for RJ Hampton. Like Bol Bol is obviously a crazy enigma. I mean, we've seen flashes. Like he could be something pretty special, but there's a bit of an opening in the Western Conference, like with the injuries to some of the Lakers star players, you know, the Clippers, like not instilling a ton of confidence in some teams. You know, there's the Jazz there and the Suns, but they got to sort of prove it. Nuggets like could see a path. I don't think it's crazy to see a path with the way Jokic is playing, and if you get bubble type Murray games, that they could go to the conference finals again, or even to the finals, and maybe win the whole damn thing. So yeah, maybe they get aggressive here and make a move, or maybe they're happy with this squad and they just continue to see like Porter flourish as this third star with those two guys that I mentioned. I do have a question here for you guys. I saw ESPN's Mike Schmitz. He had a good article yesterday, sort of running through six prospects all under the age of 23. Who teams would be wise maybe to try and target at the deadline here. So all of them are recent first-round picks, still on their rookie contracts. He had like Wendell Carter Jr. and Anthony Simons and Sekou Doumbouya and Romeo Langford and a couple other guys.
Oof.
Thought I could throw it at you guys. Which young player could use maybe a change of scenery? Lee, why don't we start with you? Where do you want to go?
Well, I'm not going to choose one of those guys, if that's okay.
No, that's
fine. The guy I'm going with is actually Lauri Markkanen. His biggest problem is he can't stay on the floor. But when he's on the floor, you know, he can shoot the ball well. He needs to improve other parts of his game. But I just wonder if there seems to be enough interest in him because he's a seven-footer who can hit that three. And he can run the floor. So I just wonder if going to a new team in a new situation, someone could get more out of him because he's the sort of guy I thought under Jim Boylan, I thought he's not using him right. Maybe under a new coach in Billy Donovan, he'll get more out of him. But again, the problem sort of is a double-edged sword. It's like you've got Markkanen when he can play, he's good, but he can't stay on the floor enough. So that's, I think that's the problem. He needs to get healthy. But I think there would be enough teams interested in him because he's shown enough talent. It's just maybe he just needs to be in a different system. And I think that the Bulls are probably looking to sell at the moment as well. There's talk about Zach LaVine. I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they're going to keep him.
That's insane.
I think
they're a playoff team, man.
Yeah, he's not going
they're
anywhere.
Buyers. They're buyers. They got to be sellers because they want to bring somebody in, but they're buyers here.
Yeah, but I think Markkanen can be had pretty cheaply.
Yes, absolutely. Well. Trey was talking about yesterday. Yeah, I agree with you that Lauri Markkanen, there's interest. You can see why. And I think the Bulls, if they got something back that intrigued them, they probably would move on from Lauri Markkanen.
And I would like to just see how he would go in a different situation it's, you know, it's like you just sit on the perimeter and shoot those threes and just with a different coach, new city, new team, maybe things would be better for him because he's another guy. He teases you, but then it's like, he's out for five games. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
okay. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. Some of those other names, Trey, that I threw at you or somebody else that you have, a young prospect that you could think you know, getting traded at the deadline would help his career?
Well, Skeets, let me just tell you how much it hurts my heart to hear Wendell Carter Jr. listed amongst Sekou Doumbouya and Romeo Langford, guys that are barely in the rotations for their teams, and this was a guy starting for the Bulls not too long ago, not to mention Lee wants to trade Lauri Markkanen, and I'm 100% in agreement with him. Yeah. Let's see if we can get this trade done with the Pacers. That's my new trade for the Otto Porter. Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon for Porter. Markkanen, we'll even throw in Ryan Arcidiacono. Seems like he would be a perfect fit for Indiana, if you know what I'm saying. As for me, the player I think could use a change of scenery, the most correct answer, you don't want to hear it, Skeets, it's De'Aaron Fox. But that's not a conversation to have right now. If he finishes his contract with Sacramento that hasn't even started yet, I will be shocked. Mm. That being said, the Kings sound like they're going to be active. Harrison Barnes seems like he could be traded. Rashawn Holmes fallen off the map a little bit here, but I would take a spin on the Bagman.
Oh!
That's right. Marvin Bag of Beans Bagley. I'm still a fan of this guy. It could be because he wore an eye patch on the starters, but I really do think he's talented. He's only 22. He's one of the fastest big guys in the league. He has shown flashes. The problem is that he's always, as long as he's with the Kings, he's always going to be compared to Luka Doncic and Trae Young. His comps from the draft, but he's still been a solid guy. He's at 14 points, 7 rebounds a game, 50% shooting, 35 from three. I think he can get better. Just needs to get a little bit stronger. He needs to kind of find the balance of his game, playing as a role guy versus a pop guy. But we know that at the very least, Dad Bags wants him out of Sacramento. We haven't heard much about that lately, but there were some rumblings early in the season. That's a buy low guy I would be interested in. Marvin Bagley.
It's a good one. This is a decent one, too, from Jay in the stream team. I'd like to see Cam Reddish on OKC, somewhere where he could run wild and figure out his game a little bit more. Cam Reddish's name has been popping up in some of these trade rumors. The Hawks are interested in a few players, apparently. I guess Marcus Smart was maybe on their list, and Malcolm Brogdon there maybe trying to call the Pacers about. So maybe a Cam Reddish getting an opportunity somewhere else, but we'll see. Great stuff. Get your answers in. Tweet them at us, at NoDunksInc. Which young player could use a change of scenery? Who will be traded over the next 24 hours or so? Okay, let's leave it at that. I mean, look, there's been no real news, updated news on the Kyle Lowry situation. It's still, it sounds like it's going to come down to the last minute here. Is it just the wraps, like, trying to run up the trade offers, Lee, between two or three teams? Like, if it's Miami, it's Philadelphia. Is there a third team we don't even know about in the mix? You know, it feels like it's going to come down to tomorrow, like to the final minute, I think, of this guy. Kyle Lowry being traded,
I mean, this 9-game losing streak sort of has, I think, changed things as well. Because if the Raptors were in a strong position, say fourth or fifth in the East, then I don't think he gets traded at all. But now it's like, well, the season's pretty much shot, so let's cash in while we can. But Zilla this morning as well, kind of saying, you know, is... can Pascal be had?
Yeah.
Can he be had?
I saw that.
He makes a good point there that, you know, Fred VanVleet is more likely sort of taking over the throne from Kyle Lowry as far as the sort of way that he plays, the style that he plays, the leader and all that. And Pascal, who, you know, he earned that big contract from his great play and he, of course, won the championship there. But he has sort of struggled a bit since then. And
he's a frustrated man right now.
He is. I don't know if he got fined $50,000 or not.
Well,
in the end.
I guess they said that wasn't true, right?
I'm not sure what happened. But that's the second time he's kind of got into it a little bit with Nick Nurse this season. So I think there's some frustrations there. So, I for a longest time have thought there's no way they're going to trade Kyle. I think the Raptors are going to make one last push. But now where they are, I think Masai will move on from him. And, it might not come down until 2:56 tomorrow afternoon Eastern. But I think Kyle will be a Miami Heat player. That's my
pick. So Trey made a good point before we went live here today. Saw me wearing the Lowry Raptors jersey. I'm wearing it because I was like, you know, this could be his last game as a Toronto Raptor until he eventually comes back at the end of his career. Though would he ever play? Probably just sign the old 10-day contract there to retire. But Trey said, well, if he's being traded, he's not going to play tonight. I was like, whoa, I hadn't even thought about that. And I hadn't seen any reports about that, Lee. Like, there's been no word. Like, when was his birthday? Is it today or yesterday? I can never remember. Anyway.
No, I'm not sure.
But I hadn't thought about that. Like, yeah, if he's actually going to be moved, it'd be pretty silly if he plays tonight from the organization standpoint. You don't want the guy to get injured or something crazy to happen. But I haven't seen any reports that he's not playing against Denver. So
there's no leaks that come out of Toronto. Yeah, so, you know...
Well, if anything, I think somebody's trolling Shams with this, like, Siakam just got fined $50,000 by the team. It's like, no. And then I was like, no, he didn't. Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
we'll see. Does Lowry play tonight? Is it his last game? Is he still there on Friday? We'll find out soon enough.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Okay, let's get to some of the games from last night. At least one or two of them, at least. The best one was the nightcap, and it was James Harden having 25 points and 17 assists as the Nets beat the Blazers 116-112. A lot of lead changes, a lot of ties. Good game. Again, a lot of the other ones were blowouts. But Trey, big takeaway from this one.
J. Just another banger for James Harden, slicing and dicing the Blazers. Not a great shooting night. Got a lot of free throws, but the Blazers honestly just could not stay in front of them. Harden tied a career high with 17 assists, and the Nets got another win without Kevin Durant. This one, obviously, without Kyrie Irving as well. And I got to tell you, coming around on the James Harden MVP case a little bit here. They have, you can make an argument, they've been the best team in the league since they acquired James Harden. Most of that, obviously, has been without Kevin Durant. Some of it without Kyrie Irving. But the way he left Houston was a disgrace. There's no doubt about it. But can you blame him? Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, Russell Westbrook, they all asked out. They just did it first. They had their wishes granted. Harden allegedly asked out in the offseason as well. But Houston is the team that said, we want to get uncomfortable. We're fine with that. So Harden said, you're not going to grant my wish? I will grant your wish. Houston asked for it. Houston got what they asked for. They finally traded him. They lost 20 straight immediately. If they had figured out the Harden trade before they figured out the Westbrook trade, James Harden is probably the MVP leader right now. And I think you can just point at the development of Nick Claxton to say so, because people are like, wow, Nick Claxton is good. They've already got their Jarrett Allen replacement. He looks like a young DeAndre Jordan catching the lobs, defending the rim. But it's actually James Harden who's really good here.
Bingo.
Oh my goodness. 8 makes for Claxton last night. Looked awesome. 4 of them were alley-oops from James Harden. He's doing what he did for Clint Capella when he was a Rocket. This is not dissimilar to Steve Nash getting contracts for so many different guys. Harden, man, that if we could erase that 1 month with the Rockets, if they would have figured out a way to trade him in November, there's no doubt in my mind that Harden would be leading the MVP race right now, because the guy is unstoppable. Unstoppable. No one can stay in front of him. I mean, the Blazers aren't a defensive team. That's why I was excited to tune in for this game. I was like, ain't no defense being played between these two teams. It's going to be a banger. And it played out as it did. But yeah, I mean, a trade in the offseason, you're good. But a trade during the season, that's tough.
Right, right. I mean, I will say for Claxton, and this isn't Harden's doing, the guy plays hard on defense. Like, he's for a big, right? He's, like, pretty switchable. So that is good. And that's a nice wrinkle that they could have, of course, in a playoff series, Lee, where they'd feel maybe a little comfortable with him sort of at the five and, again, getting switched on to guards. And he's athletic. But otherwise, offensively, 100% agree with you, Trey. This is the Harden factor. It's Nash-like. And Harden wasn't going to play in this game. I mean, apparently he had a sore neck, but he, like, gave it a go. And I saw this stat going around. No guy has played more games than anyone in the NBA since Harden entered the league than James with 871. Bit of an Iron Man there, and you sort of don't really think of it because, I don't know, I guess you're like, he's always up in the club, and you know, you're just seeing him on social media having fun, but he rarely misses games. He's sort of like Iverson that way, or I guess MJ to some extent, Lee, where he's like, can go out and party all night. But he's always there, and he's generally on the floor. But what'd you take away from this one?
Well, but that's why as well he was allowed to do what he wanted in Houston, because he would party.
Right.
But then he'd go out and put up a 50-point triple-double, and it's hard to sort of say to a guy, okay, you can't party if you are going out there performing. So credit to him. And I think, oddly, the longer Kevin Durant's out, it does strengthen his case more, because I think once Kevin Durant comes back, it just kind of takes a little bit of the sort of shine off what Harden is doing. Because right now, as you say, no Kyrie Irving last night. So it was like he was there with a sort of almost second unit group, but he orchestrated that win pretty well. And Nick Claxton, talking about him, just be smart, run the floor, man. You'll get the ball. Just run the floor. That's all you have to do. And he's doing that really well. And this was a great game. It was a good back and forth. Controversy sort of at the end there, because a call was made that was overturned, but the Blazers didn't get the ball, but they did from the jump ball. And Lillard, I thought he was going to pull up from just inside half court there to tie the game, but he kind of just stumbled a little bit, lost the ball, and they went out to Covington, who got fouled and then missed one of the free throws. So the Blazers had a chance to maybe extend this game and missed it at the end. But no, James Harden was incredible again last night, and he has been incredible. And Mike Breen talked about it on a game recently. I think it was against the Knicks, saying he just thinks that James Harden is more fun to play with right now. I don't know if that's right or not, but I think James Harden looks like he's having more fun to me than he did in those that sort of last season or two there in Houston. I just think he is. He looks a little bit more at ease. He's in control. Yeah, the shot wasn't great last night, but you know, he was in control. He was the best player on the court last night, going up against another MVP candidate in Damian Lillard. So yeah, this is things are going very, very well there for the Brooklyn Nets. Everything is going well. And as I mentioned, Kevin Durant is still to come back to that team. So, yeah, they're in a very, very nice spot right now.
What do you guys make of these, you know, to bring it back to the birthdays, just to correct myself, Kyle Lowry's birthday tomorrow on the trade deadline day. Wow. But people saying that Kyrie Irving is away from the team right now. Now, they're saying for family matters, and it might be the case, but a lot of people are like, well, it's his birthday. And then he just celebrated a birthday.
He did.
What a little birthday time off. Who knows if that's the case? So we would just be guessing.
Weird.
It's a pretty interesting timing, I will say. I saw someone saying, I love that Kyrie Irving treats playing in the NBA like anybody else treats a normal job.
Yeah,
and it's
totally
so true, which makes it weird, but very, very funny in a strange way. And I guess it doesn't. Like, this is the thing. You're not even upset because the team just keeps rolling. Like, they got Harden, they got everybody contributing. Blake Griffin has turned into, like, the greatest role player we've ever seen now. The guy's hitting the floor of loose balls, took a charge, had a big basket, like, during the run at the start of the fourth quarter. He's sort of like bully ball Blake, just got inside. So yeah, I guess you can't make a big deal out of this Kyrie thing, whether it's even true or not, Trey, if that's why, and I hope it's like not something really seriously with his family going on.
Hey man, some people really like to celebrate birthdays. My buddy Pat Murphy, every year comes around his birthday. This is a nearly 40-year-old man. Every year, Murphapalooza.
Yeah.
Murphapalooza 38 on deck this year. Me, I usually have the trade deadline on my birthday. It's usually like around towards the end of February. Different this year, obviously, but who knows what's going on. All it does is help James Harden MVP case, because he is playing with a team that you would maybe, they're not quite on par with the Rockets teams that he played with there when they were having their success, and he was really knocking on the door of MVP sort of things. That team was much better, I think, than the Nets are without Durant, without Kyrie Irving. So, yeah, the longer those two are missing time, the more chance we get that James Harden makes another run at finishing second in MVP voting here. Lee, you mentioned some controversy in this game. There was a lot of controversy, I thought. I think we were robbed of a beef last night.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Kanter, 19, he got in the box score.
Enes Kanter, 19 points, 19 rebounds. And I was watching this game. I was on beef watch, eyes on the game, eyes on the box score. I think this was the Blazers' last offensive possession. Somebody misses a shot. Kanter tips the ball in the air twice. But then the Nets actually grab the rebound and go back down to the other end. So I'm watching. I'm peeping the box score. A 20 popped up.
Oh.
And I headed to the butcher shop.
Oh, boy.
Skeets, I was ready. I was ready for that late night beef. I had it all chopped up, baby. I was ready to go. So I was like, all right, let me go. Let me go grab these clips here. Went over back to the video box scores at NBA.com. And suddenly this man has only 19 rebounds. Dubious. I don't know where that last rebound went. I thought they had it. I thought he had it. They took it away. It's probably the right call since the Nets actually did come down with the ball. Still disappointing, though.
But that's, I mean, you see guys tap it out to their teammate, and the guy who taps it gets the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I know. It feels like they go back and forth on that, though.
Yeah.
There's no real steadfast rule, it feels like, to me. Especially in watching all these clips that Trey's been showing us over the last year. I'm like, wait, that's a rebound? And then sometimes you see it and it doesn't show up in a box score, like another controlled tip or something like that, or what appears to be a controlled tip. Very strange. So dubious.
Strange.
Yes. That should have been. Would that have been Kanter's third big beef of the season? Does he already have two? I think he does.
He has at least two. That might have been his fourth.
Oh, wow.
Lamar right hurt as well. We would have had.
I know. Oh, yeah. I was ready. It looks like it's going to come down to Kanter and Rudy Gobert for the beef king this year. Andre Drummond was the lead early, but that guy hasn't played in like a month. He'd be racking him up if he could, but I don't know. Kanter, looking good, dude. He's been all right for the Trailblazers. There were some questions what they were going to do with Nurk, and he's kind of stemmed the tide, literally just rebounding. That's like the best thing that Enes Kanter gives you, is he crushes it on the offensive glass. That really helps the Blazers.
I agree with all that. He has been really good. Obviously, a lot of rebounds, a lot of beef. I'm always worried when I see like Kanter is having to play like 40 minutes though for my team in a game.
Yes.
I don't like my team's chances of winning the game. Too many. But they had a couple late guys out, right? The Blazers did. I think because of health and safety protocols. Simon's off the top of my head. Was Gary? Who's the other one? Gary Trent Jr.? Did he play in last night's game?
He played.
Who the heck am I thinking of then? There was another player on the Blazers. Anyway, that at first I was like, whoa. trade reasons here, you know, being held out of the lineup, but no, apparently not. Okay, dubious. Maybe had a big beef snatch weight. You said at the end of the year we'll have a beef king. Do you think we should like make a crown made out of beef and send it to somebody? Yeah.
Oh, like so. Lady Gaga's meat dress that
yeah,
time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll look into that.
Yeah, let us know if you know how to make a... You know, apparel out of beef. We got a plan.
All right. Next game here. Suns stay hot. Heat struggle again. As Phoenix rolls, man. 110-100, Lili. You know, there was always a lot of talk about the Utah Jazz rolling. I feel like there's less talk about the Phoenix Suns rolling. I keep saying that, but damn, they're good. Good victory, though. But this tweet from Royce Young, I wanted to throw at you, Lili, where we're talking about Harden's possibility of winning MVP. I think we may all agree that Jokic is the front runner right now, with Denver maybe putting together some wins here. Unbelievable numbers from him and the seasons he's had. But Royce Young says, since everyone is throwing out MVP candidates with the race being so suddenly wide open, I would like to add Chris Paul to the conversation. His stats don't tell the story of his value. The Suns record does, though. Lee, what do you say to Royce Young? Talk to him.
I would say Royce Young is right in his assumption that he should be in there. He won't win it. Chris Paul will not win the MVP. But if you look at what the improvement the Suns have made to this point, and if they continue out for the rest of the season, then he should be in the conversation, because I think he's been incredible for them. And it isn't because of the numbers. It's because of that leadership that he brings, that ability to be steady and do little things that don't always show up in the box. Or I think last night, 9 points and 8 assists is all he had. Took 7 shots. But I thought he was incredibly dominant in that game as well. Mm-hmm. He just is such a consistent, reliable player who impacts winning. Without necessarily having to go out and play, you know, like what James Harden did last night. He doesn't have to put up those sort of numbers because Chris Paul's never really been a guy who's scored a ton. Mm-hmm. He's been more a guy who sets up his teammates, gets other guys involved. I mean, you go back to someone like David West, for example. David West was a two-time All-Star, I think, largely because he played with Chris Paul, and Chris Paul really was able to bring out so much in him. And if the Suns were to finish with the first or second best record in the West or in the NBA, then Chris Paul, I mean, that narrative, that storyline is like, he's going to deserve so much consideration. But people are going to probably look at his numbers and the box score and just say, well, man, this guy could average like 15-8 for the season. You know, he sort of doesn't deserve MVP from that standpoint, because you're going to have Giannis probably putting up, you know, almost a triple-double, you know, perhaps Jokic too, and Embiid's been incredible for when he comes back. So he won't win it, Chris Paul, but if you really love the game and watch the game closely, you think he's certainly someone who should get serious consideration. He probably won't finish in the top... Oh, well, he won't finish in the top five, probably won't even finish in the top 10, but...
He might finish top 10. I think he could.
Yeah, I mean, he could. I mean, who knows? How big is his table going to get?
But he's not winning, and he's not the MVP of the Suns, probably, either.
Well, I mean, I think you could say he... I think he is. Again, Booker... going to have better numbers. DeAndre Ayton, one of his better games last night. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I thought he was actually fantastic. But in terms of who's the best player on that team, who's the most impactful player, it's still Chris Paul for now, which is not great for the Suns. We want to see we want it to be clearly Devin Booker. I don't think it's clear right now, because Chris Paul is just he's just a master out there. So we'll see. Great tweet. I think it's worthy and deserving.
Great tweet. Wow, great tweet, Royce Young.
Yeah, that's not tweet of the night yet, but...
Actually, Royce Young had an even funnier Instagram photo the other day. Did you see his kid at school taking his school pictures
yes,
or whatever?
I did.
His young little boy? Oh, my God. It's such a meme. It's unbelievable. Yeah, his little guy holding the apple, like, looking so unamused. Anyway, Eddie, you want to speak on this, TK? Royce's tweet, Chris Paul, the Suns, wherever you want to go.
If Royce Young said that on this podcast, we would hit him with a homer. Look, I know Chris Paul is no longer on the Oklahoma City Thunder, but that is why Royce Young has him in the MVP conversation. Royce Young voted for Westbrook in MVP in 2016 when he had the numbers and not the record. So no for me, dog. Not
gotcha,
every
Royce.
Player has to be considered for MVP, because we have real MVP candidates out there. If you're making a case for a guy who doesn't have numbers but does have impact, clearly the case is for Rudy Gobert. He would be the one that you would say could be in the MVP conversation despite not having numbers. He's the backbone of the Jazz's defense. His role game is really beneficial to Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz's offense as well. If you want to make a case for saying that the record is important, then it's got to be Giannis, I think, because he does have the MVP numbers. To me, Chris Paul has been incredible. The Suns have been great. And if they finish first or second in the Western Conference, I think you're right, Skeets. He's at least a top 10 MVP candidate. That being said, he's not really an MVP candidate.
Yes. Okay. Good win from the Suns, but he's not sitting at the table, Royce. No, no, no.
Closing reservations.
Yeah.
It's a hot table. Everybody's trying to make reservations right now. Well, I don't think so.
This guy's sitting at the head of the table, all right? Jokic, his 12th triple-double, leads the Nuggets past the Magic, 110-99. Then we had Julius Randle scoring 37 and three quarters as the Knicks crushed the Wizards, 131-113. Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, they paced the Pelicans to a blowout win over the Lakers. And then Tobias Harris, Toby, coming up big as the Lakers held off the Warriors. Those are the four other games, Trey. Any one of those in particular jump out at you?
Yeah, let's talk about the big boy. Nikola Jokic seizing the opportunity to make his MVP case. We know LeBron's out. We know Joel Embiid is out. And now is the time for Jokic to really make his case. Last night, more of the same. 28, 15, and 10. An easy triple-double. He's averaging 28 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists since the All-Star break. He scored at least 26 in every single one of those games except for a 12-point triple-double in a blowout over the Hornets. Most importantly, the Nuggets have won 5 of 7. That is the only thing that has been limiting Nikola Jokic's MVP case, is that the Nuggets haven't climbed very high in the standings in the Western Conference. That is changing right now. The guy has been incredible since the start of the season, and he just gets better and better and better. So yeah, for me, Jokic is the front runner right now, and I'm excited to enjoy his front runner status for what? 3 or 4 weeks, because that's when we seem to move on to the next guy. Maybe it'll be Giannis. I don't know. We got a great race going on right now, and that's why the table's getting so big.
What do you think, Lee? People are saying the table consists of, I like this tweet from Jay again, making this show. I'll throw it up here. The table consists of Embiid, Jokic, LeBron, Dame, Harden, and Giannis. Those are the six people at our table for the MVP. You agree or disagree?
Yes, I think so. Okay. We've had Jimmy Butler sort of turn up to the restaurant.
No, he's Kevin at the Durant bar. We made that very clear.
No, that's right, yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant, before he got injured,
Stop saying Kevin Durant for MVP?
I'm saying who was there, okay?
He hasn't played in months.
He was there.
I know.
He had an early dinner. He was there
at
6.
Yeah, he was like grandpa eating at 5 o'clock. Yeah, exactly.
if Luka can keep the Mavs hot, he's there too.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
But this is great. This is great because each player right now who I'm looking at, who you just had in that tweet there, has a strong case. And they all need a few little things to go their way. And I think when it does come to MVP, I think winning does have a big impact on it. So if one of those teams falls off a little bit, and Philadelphia have done very well since Embiid's gone out, which is great. Because if the Nets do, you know, open up a 2 or 3 game lead over the Sixers, then I think that does just give James Harden his case, makes that a little bit stronger. So it's a great race. We haven't had this really for years, have we? Like this many people with legit candidacy, because Giannis pretty much last two seasons has been in control.
LeBron was making the push last year.
When Westbrook had that 30-point triple-double, it was kind of like, you can't not give it to a guy who'd done that. You know, Harden did win his, and of course Steph Curry before that had a couple of great seasons. So we haven't had it like this, where it's like any one of those 4 or 5 guys really could win it. And it's going to come down to a couple of little factors at the end. And you know, someone like the Blazers, they're probably not going to finish in the top 4. That might hurt Dame. You know, Jokic, if the Nuggets don't finish in the top 3 as well, maybe that affects him. You know, and if the Sixers finish number 1 and Embiid comes back, then I think it's going to be very hard to keep Joel Embiid off that ballot. So there's a lot of storyline. This is what we want. A little bit of intrigue, a little bit of excitement. We want to get to the end and everyone be like, I've got a different guy, and this is why. And that'd be fun.
I got a guy and this is why.
Well, you know, like Giannis, for example, because we all came in, and I'll say with a bias of like, you're not winning it, Giannis, no matter what you do. And he's kind of been in the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks like, you know what? Maybe I will win 3 in a row. Maybe I will. And he's put together a very, very strong case as the Bucks have looked better as well. So there's some great stuff out there. Great stuff.
Yeah, of course. You got the stream teamers saying, where's Kawhi Leonard? Some saying, where's Steph Curry? Somebody was saying, Luka's in the booster seat, which I really like. I don't think they're ultimately at the table, those guys that you're throwing out there. Yeah, does Utah get anybody? Is like Trey made the case for Gobert, if you're going to go not on numbers, but impact. That's fair enough. We will see. I got a hot take. Just hit me. Jokic's MVP you know, win actually all depends on like Jamal Murray and Michael Porter, right? In a way, like they have to ball out to help him. He is a lock every night for basically 30, you know, 12 and 10. I mean, this is what he does in his sleep now. Everything goes through him, but he needs these contributions from his other star players in Jamal Murray and then MPJ a little bit. Like, those guys are ultimately going to decide whether their teammate Jokic wins MVP. So step your game up, Jamal. Step your game up, Michael. And I think, you know, they get the victories. I think he does win it, especially with the injuries to Embiid and LeBron and stuff like that. I think it's his... For the taking, and I believe Vegas agrees with that. I think he's quite the favorite now after these injuries to some of the guys.
But and Basketball Reference has his MVP probability tracker, on their tracker. He's at 46.4%, you know, basically, what, 16 times 4 is 64, so he's like 2.5 times higher than Joel Embiid's percentages, who we know is out with injury right now. You're right, Skeets. The numbers, no doubt about it, make a perfect case for Jokic. He may end up leading the league in WoBOs. I'm not sure if that's the case,
he is right
but
now.
He's getting close. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, it's about the W's at some point.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter. Yeah, so this one was going around yesterday a little bit. I'm sure you guys saw it. Bleacher Report were the ones who tweeted it out. It came in via Instagram. Josh Lopez and Brian Scalabrine was in a gym and some high school kid basically said, hey, that's Brian Scalabrine. He was, you know, a deep rotation player in the NBA. He hasn't played for 9 seasons. I reckon I could take him. Scal, we've seen him do this before too, take on regular dudes and just sort of show them how big the difference is between NBA players and regular Joes. Now, this high schooler, you know, he looks like Scalabrine's 6'9", and, you know,
yeah,
he was
kid
two,
looks he's got big, some size.
Yeah. Yeah. The Scal was like 240 in his playing days. He's probably, you know, a little bit heavier than that right now.
I've had him like 3 times.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But Scal, anyway, goes on to beat this kid 11-0 for a pair of shoes. And, you know, it is funny because when you watch the NBA and you look at some of those guys who are just journeymen and bench players, you think, you know, how does that guy make it in the NBA? But the truth is, you know, the gap between Brian Scalabrine and Michael Jordan is closer than any of us to Brian Scalabrine.
Right, right.
You know?
That's a true
point.
It is.
That's a good point.
Brian Scalabrine at one point in his life, and look, we sort of make fun of Brian Scalabrine because he's the white mamba and the red hair and that, but he stayed in the NBA for 11 seasons. You know, that in itself is remarkable to sort of accept just being a bench guy and coming out there and playing basically mop-up minutes for your entire career. He had 29 points in one game. That was his career high, I looked at, when he was with the New Jersey Nets there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still great when you just see that, when a guy just says, like, all right, I'm just going to... And he was only going, you can see there, at, like, half speed as well. I mean, if he really wanted to cook this guy,
he also doesn't even play in the league anymore. I mean, like... I this is a comment I agree with. I was just about to say this. I'll throw it up here. Mavs man making the point, bruh, Scal looks so athletic in those clips, but when you watched him in the NBA, he totally looks so unathletic. That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, my God, like you see the comparison to just like an average average player. He does look like an elite athlete because he is compared to everybody else. But
exactly.
In the NBA, he's sort of like at the bottom tier against all these other super athletic guys.
But it did get me thinking, who do you think is the worst NBA player who played more than just like 10 games? Like, now, I know it's a little bit hard. It's a little bit hard. But I think
I bet they were on the 1999 Chicago Bulls. I'll give you that. Maybe it was Cornell David or Dragon Tarlac. Perhaps countryman Chris Antsy.
Yeah, Chris Antsy. I don't know how many games he played in the end. But, I mean, Anthony Bennett only played 151 games for his entire career. I mean, he was bad. He was bad.
Yeah, sure. And it was the number one pick.
Exactly.
Like, treated me like Anthony Bennett.
Yeah,
treated me for love. Kevin Love.
Shows like, Paul Williams.
Is Anthony Bennett, though, he must be in the conversation for, you know, worst NBA player to play more than 151 games he played for his career. Like, he was awful. <You
know? laughs> He might be back in the league at some point for all you know, though.
I know someone I just saw there said Kwame Brown, but Kwame Brown actually, you know, he managed to get quite a bit out of his career, and he was a decent big man there for a couple of years. A decent compared to, you know, like he wasn't the number one pick sort of value, but he really stretched it out. But
What about this one? He didn't play 150 games. I just went to check. He played 139 games in the NBA. We can play a little trivia here. He was a high draft pick of the Toronto Raptors back in 2004.
Rafael?
That's right. Rougeau. Yeah. That guy sucked.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
He was bad. Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
this is a fun game. Who was the worst player for your favorite team?
Yeah.
This is good. Leave them in the comments.
That'd be a great off-season YouTube video or podcast where we just go through and try and name the worst player for every franchise.
Yeah.
You know, in our lifetime at least.
Yeah, with a minimum number of games played or something like that. That's great.
That'd be a fun one. We'll have to put that, someone write that down. We'll do that later in the offseason, if we ever get an offseason.
This is really what it comes down to. A great comment by Pocholo here in the stream team. Brian Scalabrine is one of the top 5,000 basketball players in the history of the world. That's what it comes down to. If you played in the NBA, you're one of the 5,000 best to have ever picked up a basketball. I saw a tweet about alongside this yesterday that said something like 500 billion people have existed on the earth since the NBA started, and there have been 5,000 basketball players in the history of the NBA. But people are still trying Brian Scalabrine because he's a little dumpy and he's got red hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've told this story a million times, but I went to basketball camp when I was a kid, like 13, 14 years old, and NBA player Jeff Turner was there. Jeff Turner. Okay. Yeah. Played for the Magic. You probably don't even know who I'm talking about, especially if you're a younger fan of our show. He was the greatest player I've ever seen with my own eyes. You know, he missed a shot the entire weekend, I'm convinced.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just didn't miss. He shot all week, and I never saw him miss. It was insane.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw at the finals, Andrew Bogut and Anson Varejao have a three-point shootout.
Yeah.
Almost the same thing where they just virtually didn't miss from the corner. And it's like, I don't think I ever saw any of those guys take, like, a mid-range jump shot. You know, it was just because they just didn't. But those players versus any other guys like us just out playing are a million times better than anything we ever achieved. The best player I ever played with was in high school, and he dragged us to the state championships. We finished runner up, and our offense was basically just like, okay, any four other guys on the court, just throw the ball to Aaron. Aaron Traheri was. He actually captained Australia under 23s. He went on to play like, you know, a decent level, still nowhere near like an NBA player. In fact, he hit a game winner against Manu Ginobili's Argentina in Melbourne back in 97. It was incredible.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Manu had 20 points in that game. He was great. But the point being that, like, yeah, this one guy was so good, he dragged our whole team to the state championships, and even he didn't go on to like...
He didn't even sniff the NBA.
No. Yeah. But, played for Australia and played in the Australian League and stuff like that. And was a good player at that level. But still, that's a whole different level to making the NBA and then making a roster and then, you know, playing any sort of role for an NBA team.
Okay. That all said, Lee, could you beat Scalabrine?
Come on, if you get hot from three, mate.
Let's be honest here. Yeah, you're feeling it. You've done your bar three. You know, you got a couple warm-up shots in. Could you beat him?
Scal said one time when he took on some people on social media who just said I could beat him, he said, look, you might be able to score on me.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. I think if you get lucky and you hit a shot, yes. But there's no way in the world you could beat him in a game, because if he decided to play, no one's got any chance against him. Right. You just seem like he can body those guys down. But he can also shoot. Scout wasn't a bad shooter. So, you know, there's no chance in the world you could beat him. But you could hit a shot if you got lucky.
Right. And we've seen you beat, you know, in shooting contests, guys like Kendall Gill, like indoor, on a weird net, you know. But, yeah, you weren't playing one-on-one. Kendall Gill's going to light your ass up, even if he's...
No, I mean, I, you know, the biggest shot I hit was over Isaiah, where I hit three in a row over him.
So I
but
say that's you guys right. Were really that's right. Playing, yeah.
No, but the thing was then, once I did hit those shots, then Isaiah did change a little bit.
And
you could tell he was like, I'm not losing even this completely meaningless game to this guy. So that's the thing. And Isaiah's 57 years old as well at the time. So you know, there's hitting a shot is one thing, but when these guys decide I'm beating you, it's like you got no chance.
Even I have a basket against an NBA player deep in my pocket, a pull-up three on Matt Bonner, because he thought there's no way this guy's going to shoot it from that far. No conscience, buddy. This only happens with basketball, though, right? Like, nobody sees Randy Johnson sitting by a baseball field. It's like, hey, bet you I can get a hit off you, buddy. Right? Nobody's stepping in the box to take some swings against the big unit. Yeah. Or nobody's like, oh, I bet you I can break Brian Urlacher's tackle. You know, this only happens with basketball. It's got the one-on-one nature.
Yeah.
I guess it does happen a little bit in tennis, right? Where, like, you'll be like, okay, I challenge you, but you, tennis player, Andy Murray, you got to play with a frying pan.
Right.
So maybe we should make it a little bit more even for player or for amateurs challenging professional basketball players. Like, the basketball player, like, Scalabrine should have had to play in socks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, make it a little bit tougher for him. Make it hard for him to move. I mean, it's not like he's blowing by this guy, but if he's slipping around there, he's not able to get quite as much body on him.
Well, I did this a charity thing for the school once with Paul Brothers, and Curtis Joseph was the goalie, and regular dudes had to try to score on him. And it's so funny because, you know, when we play basketball, you think you're moving at a reasonable speed, but when someone's videoing, it's like the slowest thing ever.
Yeah.
These people skating up to Curtis Joseph, and it was like they were just tapping the puck at him. He just was basically just like, bonk, bonk, like that. You know, because when you watch hockey, it's like, you know, they laser it past the guy like that. They've got to have these incredible reflexes. And Curtis was like 38 or something. I think he was still playing. He wasn't the least at the time, but it was just like, oh my God. Like, it's like playing against children, you know?
Yeah,
He had so much time to react. So, yeah.
It is a great point that Trey makes, though. Why is it basketball that us fans or whoever, like, think they could, like, take these guys? It's something about the irrational confidence of being a basketball player. Yeah. It's like,
I can get hot.
Yeah. I mean, it's very weird when you really step back and think about it. But, okay, great tweet of the night there, Lee. Really sparked a conversation. Love it. Shout out to Scalabrini. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. Brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Lakers-Pelicans game. Pelicans favored by 6.5. No AD, no LeBron. That sort of makes sense. And Pelicans took care of business. Got the big victory. Taz had the Lakers, so that's a loss for him. He's 8-6. Trey improves to 10-4. Really, really nice month. Helped out
thanks,
there, of course,
JD.
By JD. Yeah.
JD's on seven game streak, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. That's right. You're right, because we all took the Bulls the other night, and he was like, that's dumb. You should take the Jazz. Yeah, he's on a seven-game streak. This is wild. I got a victory. I needed that. I'm 6-8, and Lee is 7-7. So tonight's game, it is the Nuggets-Raptors. Denver is favored by 1.5. They're in a back-to-back situation. The Raptors have lost 9 in a row. Is this the final game for Lowry? Is he even playing? Is it the final game for Norman Powell? Who knows? Where do you want to go, Lili? You get us started. Nuggets favored by 1.5 in Tampa. You know, home game for the Raps.
Like, the Raptors with 9 losses in a row, at some point they're going to shake off that and just get back on track. But I think 1.5 points, I like that for Denver. So I'll take them to win by 2 points or more.
Okay. Trey, where are you going?
Yeah, it seems like a little bit of a small line, but Denver does have to fly from Denver to Florida overnight to play a basketball game. That being said, Nuggets are balling right now. Give me Denver.
I disagree with you, gentlemen. Tonight, TSN is going to host the first ever all-female NBA broadcast when the Raps take on the Nugs. Yes, Megan McPeak doing the play-by-play action, WNBA guard Kia Nurse doing the analysis, and Kayla Gray courtside reporting. So, for that reason alone, and maybe it is Kyle Lowry's last game with the Raptors if he is playing, I will take Toronto to snap the losing streak with Denver in that back-to-back situation, like TK said. Let's find out who Tass has taken.
1.5 points. This line is fishier than a Sunday morning at St. Lawrence Market. Oh, St. Lawrence Market isn't open on Sundays, you say. That's why I'm taking the Toronto Raptors to lose. Why would I take the Toronto Raptors? No chance. Give me the Nuggets.
Oh, wow. Three people taking the Nuggets to win by two or more. Gotta point that line out. Well, we gotta find out who JD thinks is winning. Let's see if he can keep this streak going. JD, tonight's game, who you got? Can't hear you, JD. You're muted because you got construction workers behind
right.
you.
Right, sorry, go. Guys. Sorry. I'm taking the Nuggets. I think they're going to be sad in Tampa because of the trades and the, you know, if it's his last game, then it is kind of sad, and you know, and they're on a losing streak and the spread is very small, so I'm taking the Nuggets.
I guess I will say, if this is Lowry's last game tonight, it'd almost be fitting, because if I remember correctly, his first couple of games with the Raptors, they lost when he when he started there, and maybe they'll end on a 10-game losing streak. Oh, God. No, give me the Raps to keep it at least a very close game and maybe get that victory and hit that money line. Good luck to everybody. That's it for us here today. We will be back tomorrow, but later in the day, because it's NBA trade deadline day. We will hopefully fire up the podcast if big, you know, important, crazy trades happen. If there's a blockbuster, we'll jump on and react to it right away. Otherwise, we got Tass's What You Need to Know, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then we'll be here on Thursday afternoon. No morning show for the four of us here. I guess Tass, in theory, will probably be joining us for the deadline show in the afternoon.
I think he said he would.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's fantastic. So we'll have hashtag full squad for that. Hopefully have some trades to talk about. And again, we'll probably fire that up around 3:30 in the afternoon Eastern time on Thursday. So that's the trade deadline day special. Hopefully we got something to talk about. Email us your questions for the next Beach Steppin' podcast, and go check out yesterday's podcast that we posted, Hitting the Beach, Answering Your Cues. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic already. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Clipper, bro.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, none of us can beat an NBA player one-on-one, but we might be able to score a goal on them if they're in the net. I'm going 5-hole. Oh. There's a lot of space between their legs, Skeets. These guys are 7 feet tall. You think Brian Scalabrine can get down to the 5-hole? No way. Easy goal.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay, ooh, every day. And I'd be happy every minute.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.